They still smell the powder burning, and they probably always will. And on the old
welcome back to the Jeff Forrest Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Keep the text coming. I'll do my best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. So to come on the program in an hour from now, Dale Jackson from WVNN. And Jerry Carl, our former congressman, in the 11 o'clock hour, he's seeking his old seat, although the lines are significantly different. We'll talk to him about his campaign and how that's going and his reaction to what's going on in the world, particularly Iran and, what the fallout from that is. I don't think we've had him on since the military effort started, so it'll be interesting to see where he is lining up on that. But joining us now, sort of the man of the moment right now, you guys out there with the Big Creek Lake concerns, Shane Stringer, state lawmaker from Citronelle. Representative, how are you?
Doing great, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for coming on. How are you weathering? You guys were supposed to make this session easy, and it's been nothing but that.
Yeah, it's probably been one of the most stressful, chaotic sessions I've had in 8 years. So definitely looking forward to getting this one over with and getting it in the books.
Yeah, and is there any sense that that's where this is headed? Or everything's, and it does this every year, but it really starting to feel the slog kind of kick in.
Yeah, this one's been, seems to be a little worse than others, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It's kind of hard to gauge and see what's going on, but I'm hoping and praying that we are definitely headed in the right direction.
Well, the budgets are still outstanding, and historically, before maybe 5-10 years ago, that was where you really had the fireworks and the drama, but maybe not so much this time. It's just there's other things, and then we won't go into the internal palace intrigue too much, but it's really taken some of that spotlight away from those.
Yeah, it's definitely been a unique situation and session for everybody, and I think it's equally stressful to every member so far that I've talked to, and it's in the middle of an election year, and for those that are in have elections going on are very concerned about those and working that side of it. So I don't know, with me, I've got probably more legislation this year than I've had in the last year or two, and some important stuff like the Big Creek Lake issue we're trying to get resolved, and just really a lot on everybody's plate.
Well, let's talk about the Big Creek Lake, and that's been festering for now two sessions now, a little more than a year, I suppose. Movement on that, it's generating a lot of attention. It's generating a lot of press. It seems to be popular with a lot of people out your way. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we've got another bill coming up in committee to Wednesday, trying to get it out of committee and hopefully get it on the floor before we run out of time. But that will be addressing the critical infrastructure law, which is what was used to charge one of our citizens, Andy Ellsworth, with the trespassing of a critical infrastructure. We can get that fixed because the Department of Conservation has over and over stated that Big Creek Lake is a public waterway. The lake, the reservoir itself was built on a navigable waterway, which makes it a public water. The state has stocked it with over 500,000, over 900,000 bass over the years. And we don't do that for private lakes. So this is 100% a public water. But hopefully we'll get it out of committee. This will make it to where someone fishing on that lake would not be deemed to be trespassing on a critical infrastructure.
And what are the prospects here? I mean, it does, and I don't know, it's necessarily like where there's smoke, there's fire or whatever, but the fact that a lot of people are talking about it leads me to believe that this has got real movement.
Yeah, I mean, the groups out there around Tanner Williams, Wilmer, Sims, Westmobile, they're blowing the phones up in Montgomery asking the legislators to support me and to help us fix this bill and move on to the other ones that we have addressing Big Creek Lake and see if we can get that fixed. A lot of work that needs to be done to get our lake open back up.
Well, and I suppose it's this, that there's probably some lawmakers in your local delegation, in the Mobile County delegation, that are on the opposite side of this. And, you know, is that one of these situations where it's kind of your way and this is the way people want it? Or is there any room for compromise here?
Well, we're trying to work something out. Of course, there are members in our delegation on the Democrat side that are opposing my legislation and trying to fix the Big Creek Lake stuff. And, you know, they have their opinions, but it's still, I don't believe that it's right. I think that we've got to get this open back up. Of course, Malls is trying to say that this is a water quality issue and that they can't have good water quality and control if they allow people to fish on the lake, which I totally disagree. You know, we've got the train trestle that runs over that has the carries hazardous materials. We got the pipeline that runs under the lake. They've not addressed that. We've got other issues bigger than a fisherman, and we've coexisted forever. And I absolutely think there is a balance to be found to open up the lake, but and have, you know, safe drinking water too.
Well, that's just it. And I mean, and this has always been the problem, the transparency element to this. Has there been do we know, like, precisely what kind of threat having the fishermen, other than, I guess, you know, some of the infrastructure problems and invasive species coming in, do we know exactly what the threat to the drinking water is according to Maws?
Yeah, they're basically sticking to one topic, which is the invasive species, mainly the zebra mussel. But, you know, there's ways to maintain that. If you leave it and let it get out of control and don't monitor things, then, yes, you can have a problem in your water system. But as long as you're monitoring things, which they do, they have to do that for these different grasses and stuff that grow in there. So it's been managed and controlled, you know, since it's been open, and there's really no reason or need to close it at this point.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. We'll talk about this, and you know, we had a Republican Party meeting, a business meeting Saturday. The idea of closing primaries with party registration, and, you know, this has been something that's talked about for a long time in the state, that you kind of already do it in a primary runoff. Well, from your standpoint, I mean, is this something you think is got legs for this session?
It appears to. You know, I've seen the Speaker of the House has put something out on social media supporting it, and typically if he supports it, you know, then it's got a very good chance of passing. You know, I've talked to other members that seem to be very in support of it, so I'm in support of it. I think it's got a good chance of moving.
Yeah, I guess so much of this, and this is kind of a bigger question, the Senate, it's hard to read the Senate if this would have any chance in the Senate, but are you finding that the cooperation between the House and the Senate and getting the Senate to pass House bills, the House bills getting passed by, I mean, the Senate bills getting passed by the House, what's that been like? Where are we at that, at this stage of the game?
Yeah, we're getting to the point, you know, we're monitoring which, you know, how many Senate bills have passed the House, how many have passed the Senate, and, you know, there will become a back and forth where we will, you know, may get to a point where we need to pass more Senate bills to catch up with them or slow it down to keep a good balance and to make sure that, you know, one chamber is not getting an advantage over the other. So I think, you know, move it from this week moving forward is we'll really start crunching those numbers and watching that. I've not looked at them myself to see where we're at, but I don't think it's too far off balance yet, because typically when it is, you'll start hearing members really fussing and, you know, getting upset that their bills are not moving in one chamber or the other.
Well, aside from the drama related to, you know, the internal leadership and whatnot, I mean, that's typically where we hit the speed bumps and you really start to feel things start really dragging. And the only difference here between this session and the last session with that dynamic, you don't have the Democrats filibustering upstairs, but that, so things are moving. It's just that maybe there's not those impediments or at least that threat that you gotta be worried about, especially something like Big Creek Lake that's got to move through the process and the days are winding down.
Yeah, we typically keep a close eye on that. Leadership in the Senate and the House both try to monitor that closely, try to, you know, be very sensitive to both chambers and trying to make sure that we keep a balance there and are able to, you know, to keep the system moving so we don't bog down and lose any important legislation that really needs to be passed, like the Big Creek Lake issue.
Talk about the probable cause bill. I know we talked about this last time you were on, but I think you were on with Sean talking about it too. But where are we on that with the boat searches?
Yeah, everything went well through the House and the Senate. The governor did sign it last week, so we do have an act number, and it will be taking effect June the 1st of this year. So that will be coming soon, and, you know, hopefully that's going to remedy a lot of problems that we're seeing and having across the state. And really thought that it was more of an isolated situation to our area of the state, but in talking to other members and just a lot of people from across the state, turns out this is a major problem across the state that everybody's concerned with. So hopefully, you know, we get everything kind of calmed down, and all the Marine units are going to have to kind of get updated on the new law and make sure that they're adhering to that and following those rules, which I think is going to help them to give them some clearer and more defined lines to follow.
What's the enforcement mechanism there? Like, how do you make sure that they're in compliance with the law? How is that a check kept on that?
Yeah, as this goes, if there's issues going forward, there's multiple steps they can do. They can file complaints within the departments of whichever Marine unit it may be through the supervision. They can file complaints with the Attorney General, and then there's also the ability to do a lawsuit if needed.
We'll wrap it up on this, and I just want to get your reaction to it. And you know, there is a Democrat running for governor against Tommy Tuberville, Doug Jones. It's interesting to me to listen to these Democrats right now. The constitutional carry, a big part of their platform is to repeal that. Does it seem like a way to win the hearts and minds of many Alabamians? But that's just me speaking.
Yeah, I think they're grasping at straws. They're just trying to find something. They're throwing anything against the wall, hoping something will stick. And I just don't think that's going to be their savior. You know, we have proven since it's passed that we did not have the end of the world. We didn't have the Wild Wild West, and things have not gotten worse or changed. If anything, it's gotten better for more law-abiding citizens having guns. And, you know, at the end of the day, that law only pertains to law-abiding citizens anyway. It did not apply to the criminals. They've never ran down and got a pistol permit or not done a crime because they couldn't get a pistol permit, and we know that. So we'll just keep, you know, keep putting our message out there, making sure everybody knows, and then we'll be good to go.
Yeah, because this is a point we need to probably hit really hard, though. It's not like there was a big, significant, drastic change. There's some isolated incidents, but I, you know, you look at the city of Montgomery, and that's probably tied to more of the nature of the law enforcement, policing, morale, and things of that sort.
Yeah, absolutely it is. I mean, their department is down significant numbers in officers, and, you know, the presence of officers is what stops crime or reduces crime, and we don't have the presence in Montgomery that we've needed, to the point that the governor has, you know, allowed Aaliyah to step in and try to help out, and other departments have stepped in. Everybody's, you know, trying to bail them out and help them, but until they get their numbers back up in their department, they're going to probably still see issues.
Well, Representative, we'll keep an eye on that, and we got a few more weeks, but you know, you feel like things have kind of settled down somewhat.
Well, hard to say. I'm hoping so. You know, I still got other legislation I'm wanting to get passed. I've got my lifetime hunting and fishing license for the permanently disabled citizens. I'm trying to get that across the finish line. We've got it through the House, and it's up in the Senate. It's already passed committee, so hopefully we'll get it done. But, yeah, I'm hoping and praying that everything calm down a little bit and we can move forward and get this one over.
Representative, we always appreciate your time. We'll do this again in a couple of weeks, and maybe we'll catch up while I'm up there this week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
State Representative Shane Stringer, let's get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Wilder beer, blending the snow in.